We're excited. The next 6 weeks, we're going to be spending, taking a break from the story. And our task in the next 6 weeks is to help you connect the dots, to help you kind of understand the Old Testament from different theme perspectives. And today, we're going to be talking about covenant. And I don't want you to look at the outline and panic. We will be in and out here in 30 minutes. I will walk you through it very quickly. So I want to encourage you to get your outline out and follow along. I'm going to move pretty quickly through it. But I think you'll see a common thread all through it. It'll make sense. We'll help you walk through it. Covenant is the, one of the most important themes of the Bible. In fact, it is the theme of the Bible, along with redemption. So we're going to look at this topic today. Let's pray together as we begin. Lord God of Israel, there is no God like you. And we are thankful that you are a covenant-keeping God. Help us realize today the importance that we are in covenant with you. We are yours. And I pray today that your Holy Spirit will teach us some powerful truths and make it practical for our lives, Father, to see the seriousness you take when it comes to covenant. We thank you that there even is an opportunity to have a covenant with you, all because of the cross. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Who has betrayed you? How did you respond? We've all been betrayed. We've all been hurt at times in our lives. But when we come to covenant and we come to talking about God, God is a God of covenant. God has been betrayed. You think from the very beginning of time, from the very beginning with Adam and Eve, he has been betrayed over and over again. I think it's so important to see things from God's perspective, to see how he feels. You know, have you ever got, you think about your child and you've thought about, I'm going to get this gift for Christmas, and you think, this is what they're going to love. And they open the gift and they're, you know, the facial expression says it all. You know, what on earth is this? And you as a parent, how do you respond as a parent? You're disappointed, you're frustrated. But I want you to look at it from this perspective. God created a perfect world. And we know that. But Adam and Eve have rejected that. How do you think God felt? How do you think he felt in the garden? How did he respond? He didn't respond the way that you and I would respond, would he? Because when we were betrayed, we distance ourselves, we seek revenge. You know, we do lots of different things when we are betrayed. But loving and sticking with somebody is not something we do a lot these days. There is such a lack of commitment in our culture today, in our marriages, in Christ, in following the Lord. We are people that struggle with commitment. As you're going to see from Genesis to Revelation, not only does God love us, he pursues us. He pursues us with a passion. And he loves us more than we can possibly imagine. And this word, this whole idea of faithfulness to a covenant is summed up in this word, chesed. Look at your neighbor and say, chesed. Okay, now you ain't doing it right. You got to get a little spit on him, okay? Chesed. All right. Sounds okay. That's translated as unfailing love, steadfast love in your Bible and my Bible. Chesed. We look at this idea of covenant today, and we a lot of people don't know this, but the word for covenant is testament in Latin. It's where we get the idea of Old Testament and New Testament. And that's how our Bible is divided up. Between this important word. So what is a covenant? A covenant is an agreement between two people that they will be loyal to each other. Loyalty is at the heart of covenant. Marriage is a great example of a modern day covenant. And as we said, our struggle in our culture today is a commitment to that. And it's interesting that God is the one that initiates the covenant. It's not that man comes to him and says, hey, you know, I'd like to make a covenant with you. It's God that does all the initiating. It's always, always based on relationship. And God wants you to see him as a father. because he says, I will be your God, you will be my people. That is very fatherly language. And as we'll see today, covenant is the beautiful, beautiful word and is the essence of everything that is in Scripture. Now, there's two types of covenants in Scripture. There's conditional covenants, there's unconditional covenants. Conditional covenant says, I will if you will, God says. I will do my part if you, man and woman, will do your part. Unconditional is God will. It's not dependent on man, it is dependent entirely on God. So keep that in mind as we're looking at covenant today. There's five major covenants, and I think as we have studied the story, and we've got to chapter 21, we have finished the Old Testament, I think it's important that we step back, let's connect the dots, let's look at all these covenants very quickly as we walk through them. There's only one that is conditional. Let's see if you can guess which one it is. All right, let's look at this first one, God's covenant with Noah. People ask, you know, why didn't God, you know, make a covenant with Adam and Eve? And there's a big debate, you know, kind of there was the essence of covenant there. But really, it's everything was perfect. There wasn't really any need to say, hey, let's make a covenant. Everything was perfect. Unfortunately, not for very long, as we all know, when sin entered the world through Adam and Eve. And in several generations later, we get to the time of Noah, and this is how bad it had gotten. The Lord saw how great the wickedness of the human race had become on the earth, and that every inclination of the thoughts of the human heart was only evil all the time. The Lord regretted that he had made human beings on the earth, and his heart was filled with pain. That is a powerful passage. So the Lord said, I will wipe from the face of the earth the human race I have created, and with them the animals, the birds, the creatures, and move along the ground, for I regret that I have made them. But Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. Here's a question for you. True or false? God spared Noah and his family because he was a good guy and everyone else was bad. True or false? Oh, this is not a library. You can talk. True or false? I could say that to a lawyer. Very good. The answer is false. What did God see in Noah? What did he get? What was in him that God approved of? It was faith. God showed him grace. He showed him favor because he trusted him. And you're going to see this theme all through the Old Testament, all through the Scriptures. Faith is the one element in God, in us, that God gets along with. You know, Noah was not perfect. He was a sinner just like all of us. In Genesis 9, he acts like a hillbilly, gets drunk, passes out naked in his tent. That's not a common VBS topic we talk about. But it's the truth. He was not perfect. And yet I want you to see that today, that God keeps covenant with us, even in our imperfections, even in our sins. And everyone in this room, we all struggle. But I want you to know, just because you and I blow it doesn't mean that God's going to blow it. It doesn't mean that God doesn't keep covenant. He doesn't give up on us, is what I'm trying to say. As we talked about on Wednesday night. God said to Noah and his sons with him, I now establish my covenant with you and your descendants after you and with every living creature that was with you. The birds, the livestock, all the wild animals, all those that came out of the ark with you, every living creature on earth. I establish my covenant with you. Never again will all life be destroyed by the waters of a flood. Never again will there be a flood to destroy the earth. And God said, this is the sign of the covenant I am making between me and you and every living creature with you, a covenant for all generations to come. I have set my rainbow in the clouds, and it will be the sign of the covenant between me and the earth. Whenever I bring clouds over the earth and the rainbow appears in the clouds like it did just a week ago, I will remember my covenant between me and you and all living creatures of every kind. Never again will the waters become a flood, destroy all life. Now, I read all that to say this. There are seven aspects to every covenant. Seven aspects. And we will walk through these very quickly. So get your pencil out, get ready. Every covenant has a mediator. Every covenant has a mediator. A mediator in this situation is between God and people. And Noah is that mediator in this situation. There are blessings in every covenant. There's no flood now. The human race is allowed to live on. There's other blessings along with Noah's covenant, but that you get the idea. Thirdly, there are obligations. Remember, God said to respect life. Don't murder. Don't do things that will harm another person. So there are obligations to every covenant. Number four, what is the external sign of the covenant? The external sign is the rainbow. The rainbow is the very thing that God says, I want to visibly show you that I'm going to be faithful to the covenant that I made with you. What is the internal sign of the covenant? It is always faith. Our response is faith, to trust and believe in God's promises. There's always a sacrifice. Noah offered clean animals and a burnt offering. So there's all these seven aspects, and one more is that how is Noah's covenant fulfilled in Jesus? And you'll see this all the way through. God gives us shadows. We learn that just as there was one door on the ark to be saved, now through Jesus, there is one way to be saved from our sins. So you get the idea. This is how every covenant has these seven aspects. So was Noah's covenant with God conditional? Was it, you know, I will, if you will, or was it unconditional? It is unconditional. It is all about God. God keeping his covenant and his promise never to flood the earth again. That's his. Look at your neighbor and say, I am sure glad God is faithful. God's covenant with Abraham. Let's look at his. The Lord said to Abraham, go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. Now look, is this a conditional covenant or an unconditional? Remember, unconditional has the word I will in it. I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all the peoples on earth will be blessed through you. Obviously, an unconditional covenant. God will keep this covenant no matter what. It is dependent on him and on his faithfulness. So, mediator here is Abraham. The blessings are a nation. He's going to provide a nation. He's going to provide a land. He's going to provide protection. Whoever curses you, I will curse. He's going to provide a savior. Jesus is going to be in that promised seed, that promised line. What were the obligations? Obedience, which proved many times that faith is genuine. And God tested Abraham, remember, with Isaac. I know today is more of a, I'm more of a teacher today than I am a preacher. And I think this is so important for you to understand, because this is the heart of the Bible. Covenant is the very heart, and I want you to get this. What was the external sign of the covenant? Circumcision was the external sign of the covenant. All those important things to talk about. We could talk about covenant for several months if we wanted to. It's so rich. What was the internal sign of the covenant? It was faith. Trusting God. Trusting his promises. And Abraham proved over and over and over that he did that. What was the sacrifice? This is where it gets very interesting. In Genesis 15, God appears to Abraham 10 years after he makes his initial promise that I'm going to bless you, I'm going to give you descendants, I'm going to give you a nation. 10 years go by, he doesn't hear anything from God. And he appears before him one day, in Genesis 15, and he says, Abraham, I want to remind you of the covenant that I've made with you. As numerous as the stars is, so shall your descendants be. And Abraham says he believed, and it was credited to him as righteousness. And what's really interesting after that, there was a common way in that time frame of making covenants between men. When they would want to make a covenant, say, to buy a piece of land or to, you know, to do whatever, they would make a covenant. And the way they would do it would be they would take animals and they would slice them in half, and they would find a little ditch, and they would put animals on both sides of the ditch, and the blood would roll down into the center there. And they would both walk through it barefoot, as if to say, if I break this covenant, may what happened to these animals happen to me. And what's interesting in Genesis 15 is Abraham goes to sleep. The Lord puts him in his sleep. And the Lord walks through the blood only himself. As if to say, if you, Abraham, break this covenant, I will pay the price. And he does on the cross. It's a beautiful metaphor for what God is going to do. See how the Old Testament points towards the cross? It is amazing when you start looking at it. And obviously, God, Abraham's covenant is fulfilled in Jesus being the promised seed. Being the promised seed. Look at your neighbor and say, I am too blessed to be stressed. You mean it? God's covenant with Moses. Let's look at this one very, very quickly. Moses went up to God, and the Lord called him from the mountain and said, this is what you are to say to the descendants of Jacob and what you are to tell the people of Israel. You yourselves have seen what I did to Egypt and how I carried you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now if you fully obey me fully and keep my, then out of all nations you will be my treasured possession. Beautiful words. Although the whole earth is mine, you will be for me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. In other words, God says, I want you to be my missionaries to the world. I want people to see me in you, and I want you to reach out to those nations and be a kingdom of priests. These are the words you are to speak to the Israelites. The people all responded together, we will do everything the Lord has said. Basically, God proposed, do you want to marry me? Israel says, yes, we do want to marry you. And the vows were simply the Ten Commandments. Here's what we're going to do to be loyal. That's what happened at Sinai. So, the mediator in this situation is Moses. The blessings is the fact that they were saved out of Egypt. They were rescued by God to do what? To worship. That is a powerful truth to understand. You and I are not set free and saved by the blood of Christ to come to church and to sit in a pew. We are set free to worship. And to worship means not only just to say the amen on Sunday morning, but to live my life 7 days in a week that points people to Jesus Christ. That they say, man, that person is different from everybody else. Worship is so much more. Literally, worship means to bow down and to kiss the feet of. Are you willing to do that with Jesus? Is he your Lord? Is he really your Lord? Or are we too proud to bow down and say, you are the king of my life. You rule every aspect of it. The obligations were the obedience to the law, which was impossible to do to start with. This is a different covenant. This is a conditional covenant. This is, God says, I will bless you if you obey me perfectly. Obviously set up from the beginning to understand some things. The law of Moses, this 613 commands, they're never intended to be a legalistic set of rules and regulations. God says, I have saved you out of grace. I have saved you out of Egypt. Now, I want to have a relationship with you. Follow me, love me, trust me. And unfortunately, Israel and many of us still to this day turn everything into a set of rules and regulations. How were people saved in the Old Testament? Very simply, they were justified by grace through faith, just like we are. No different. If you want to argue about that, look in Romans 4. That's exactly the argument Paul uses. We are justified, we are treated as if we are not guilty, declared not guilty, by grace, unmerited favor, by trusting in the promises of God. Look at Abraham. Abraham believed the Lord, and he credited it to him as righteousness. God said, you are righteous with me because you trust me. Today, you and I, as we follow Jesus Christ, we are righteous, not because we've done anything in ourselves, but we're trusting in the finished work of the cross. And God says, I'm crediting righteousness to you. Right standing with me. Obedience proves the faith is genuine. Obedience to God's word. Yes, it's very necessary. It's not just like Morris was saying, just believe. We respond to that. Respond to that. Israel's covenant with God, external sign was the Sabbath. Obviously, the internal sign, again, is faith. And what was the sacrifice? They list all of these sacrifices that Israel had to approach in the book of Leviticus. So, external sign, Sabbath, internal is faith, and the sacrifices from the book of Leviticus. How is it all fulfilled in Jesus? This is so beautiful. He fully obeys the law of Moses. He never sins. It qualifies him to be our Savior and our great high priest. He also came to give the law its fullest meaning. Matthew 5, verse 17. Does that make sense? It's a powerful, powerful truth. Now, for a commercial break. Which man in the Bible had no parents? Son of who? Son of Nun. Yeah, very good. Ha, ha, ha. What kind of man was Boaz before he married? Ruthless. Y'all are supposed to laugh more. How does Moses make his coffee? He brews it. Now, back to our regularly scheduled program. God's covenant with David. Let's look at God's covenant very quickly with David. You said, I have made a covenant with my chosen one. I have sworn to David, my servant, I will establish your line forever and make your throne firm through all generations. If you get a chance today, read 2 Samuel 7. It's a beautiful chapter of God appearing before David and saying, I am going to bless you, I am going to provide, and I'm going to give you a throne that is forever. So, with David, David is the mediator. What were the blessings? A king from his family tree would always be on the throne. And it ends with Jesus Christ, who is the forevermore king. What were the obligations? It was faithfulness. It was the faithfulness of God. It was dependent. It was an unconditional covenant, obviously, to fulfill all this. What was the external sign of the covenant? It was the temple. Interestingly enough, Solomon, his son, builds the temple. And this is the sign that God is going to keep his promise. The internal sign, obviously, is again faith. There's that common thread. And what was the sacrifice? It was looking forward to the cross of Jesus Christ. Fulfilled in Christ. And that's what all those genealogies, if you ever wonder what all the, you know, the begats and all that stuff is all about, let me tell you something. Those prove that God is faithful and he keeps his promises. Amen? That's what all those genealogies are about, because they're wanting to show you that God has kept his promise from the time of Abraham to the time of David to the time of Jesus. Look at your neighbor one more time and say, when God makes a promise, he keeps it. Last one, God's new covenant through Jesus, and this is the most powerful one of all, from Jeremiah 31. The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the people of Israel and with the people of Judah. It will not be like the covenant I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand to lead them out of Egypt, because they broke my covenant, though I was a husband to them. Notice the imagery of marriage. This is the covenant that I will make with the people of Israel after that time, declares the Lord. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts. I will be their God. They will be my people. No longer will they teach their neighbor or say to one another, know the Lord, because they will know me from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their wickedness and will remember their sins no more. Now, most of us stop right there, but you've missed three very important verses. This is what the Lord says. He who appoints the sun to shine by day, who decrees the moon and stars to shine by night, who stirs up the sea so that its waves roar, the Lord Almighty is his name. Only if these decrees vanish from my sight, declares the Lord, will Israel ever cease being a nation before me. This is what the Lord says. Only if the heavens above can be measured and the foundations of the earth below be searched out, will I reject all the descendants of Israel because of all they have done, declares the Lord. This new covenant is completely different from the old covenant, God is saying. God is saying, I'm going to write it on your hearts so that you may know me. The Holy Spirit has a very limited activity in the Old Testament. In the New Testament, he has a very big activity in the hearts of believers. This new heart that God's going to give us, that he also is going to completely remove our sins and our guilt, cleansing our conscience, as the Hebrew writer says. Under the law of Moses, sacrifice just covered sin. That's all animal sacrifices did. But they didn't remove the guilt. The blood of Christ removes the guilt. So who is this new covenant made with? And I want you to notice this very quickly. The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the people of Israel and Judah. Is the church mentioned anywhere here? No. I want to remind you that when God made that promise to Abraham, it was an everlasting covenant, unconditional, forever, that he would have people, his people would be blessed. I want you to read this with me because I want to make sure this is worded right so nobody misunderstands what I'm saying. There's been a false teaching since the 3rd century called replacement theology that believes that the Gentile church replaced Israel as God's chosen people. Maybe you've heard that. I have. However, this is not what Paul teaches in Romans 11. God made an everlasting covenant with his people, Israel. God promised that as long as the sun and the moon is in the sky, so shall Israel be a nation before me. God is not through with Israel. They are still his chosen people. Even though they have rejected Jesus, God is still working out his plan. There is a time coming, and we are starting to see this in our lifetime, especially in the last 50 years, that the Jewish people are finally turning to their Messiah. Remember Joe Shulam that was here one night last summer? Powerful testimony. Can a Jewish person be saved apart from Jesus? Absolutely not. The point Paul makes in Romans 11 about the olive tree is that the branches are Israel, and us Gentiles, anybody that's not a Jew, is the wild olive shoot that has been grafted into the branch. In other words, grafted into the promises of Abraham. We have to remember this is a Jewish book, a Jewish Messiah, Jewish disciples, and God's chosen people. We, as Gentiles, are the outsiders grafted in. We should be careful, Paul warns in Romans 11, not to be haughty, arrogant towards our Jewish friends. God is the stump. Israel are the branches. We Gentiles have been grafted into the promises of Israel, not vice versa. And we should live in a humble fear and respect of who God is. Israel is our elder brother. And we should show them respect. If you have any questions about that, come talk to me about it. It's a very intense topic to talk about, but that's exactly what the new covenant is promising. We have been grafted in as Gentiles into those promises. We ain't the cat's pajamas, is what I'm trying to say. Which covenant am I under? I am under the new covenant. Now, wait a minute. Wasn't the law of Moses nailed to the cross? No, it was not nailed to the cross. The law wasn't bad. People were bad. But the law is holy, Paul says in Romans 7. It's perfect. Colossians helps us understand. You were at one time spiritually dead because of your sins and because you were Gentiles without the law. But God has now brought you to life with Christ. God forgave us all our sins. Because we broke God's law, we owed a debt that listed all the rules that we failed to follow. But God forgave us of that debt. He took it away and nailed it to the cross. Not the law, the debt. The traffic tickets, he nailed to the cross. At the cross, Christ defeated all spiritual powers and forces. He let the whole world see them being led away as prisoners as he celebrated his victory. That is an important truth to understand. The Old Testament was not nailed to the cross. Our debts were. Today, do we keep any of the commands from the Old Testament? Only those that have been reiterated by Jesus and the apostles in the New Testament. Basically, 9 of the 10 commandments without the Sabbath. So is this new covenant conditional or unconditional? It is unconditional. Because salvation is entirely the work of God from beginning to end. We have the choice, yes, of to receive or reject it, but we cannot save ourselves. The Old Testament proves that. We fail. And the beautiful song, Tommy, Jesus paid it all to him I owe. It's a very appropriate song. So my question to you today is, have you entered into a covenant with God? If you have been baptized into Jesus Christ, if you have put your trust in Jesus to save you from your sins, you are in covenant with God. Who is the mediator? Jesus was. What are the blessings? Eternal life. Forgiveness. Man, they are just too numerous to mention. Amen? And what are the obligations? The obligations is to faith and trust in Jesus. It's important that we realize our lostness. There needs to be repentance. There needs to be baptism. But just like Israel, we are saved by grace. And God, we show our gratitude to God by obeying Him, by loving Him, by following Him. And if you understand this truth, if you don't walk out with anything else today, I want you to walk out with this. You and I are married to the Lord. And if you treat your marriage, your own marriage, badly, how do you treat your marriage with God? Because you and I are married to Him. The external sign of the covenant is baptism, and it is the Lord's Supper. This is why it is so important that if you have not entered into a covenant with the Lord, that you don't take the Lord's Supper, because it is for people that have entered into a covenant with the Lord. It's a serious thing. The early church excluded anybody that was not a Christian from participating in it. Not to be mean, but to say, hey, this is special for those who are following Christ. The eternal sign is faith, obviously, and the sacrifice, of course, is the cross, but it's also becoming a living sacrifice. Giving your life back to God is exactly what you do in marriage. So what does this mean for us? Number one, it means God is faithful. God keeps His promises. God does not want a half-hearted commitment to Him. Do you want a half-hearted commitment in your marriage? Every one of us would say, absolutely not. You want somebody that says, hey, can I go out and continue dating people? Or can I go out and continue? Of course we wouldn't. But when it comes to God, that's sometimes how we treat Him. God wants all of you. You. Because He loves you. And all this teaches, this idea of covenant, teaches us that God says, I want to be near you. I love you. You are precious to me. I want that relationship with you. Do you hear God's cry from the garden? I want to be near you. Won't you enter into a covenant relationship with me? Just as a husband enters a relationship with his wife. I want it to be that close. I want it to be that intimate. I want you to know me as I know you. I want you to love me as I love you. I know you're imperfect. I know you make mistakes. I have already got that covered. And the Lord says that through the cross we can receive forgiveness as we work through our failures and our struggles. My question today is, are you ready today to enter into a covenant with God? Believe with all your heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Are you ready to say, yes, I'm ready to trust in Him. I'm ready to change my ways. I'm ready to be baptized. And I want to enter into that covenant relationship with Him. If you are ready to do that today, we can baptize you into Christ. You can begin your journey. Won't you come as we stand and sing?
Jesus, He came to love, heal and forgive. He lived and died to buy my pardon. An empty grave is there to prove my Savior lives. Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Because He lives, all fear is gone, because I know he holds the future, and life is worth the living just because he lives. Hold a newborn baby and feel the pride and joy he gives, but greater still the calm assurance this child can face uncertain days, because he lives. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds the future, and life is worth the living just because he lives. And then one day,